Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, open your word to us by your Holy Spirit, that we may hear and believe, and that by your grace may persevere, that we may run with endurance the race that you have set before us, in the firm confidence that Jesus Christ, our Savior and our great High Priest, has indeed traveled the way before us and sanctified it unto us. He has made a place for us before your throne of grace, and he will bring us to the finish. Let your word, therefore, spur us on in this race of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. We're going to read a portion of chapter 11 as a bit of context and background to the verses in chapter 12. If you're using our church Bibles, this is page 1008. We're going to start looking at Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 32. We'll read through 12, verse 3, but the text tonight is chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so far the reading of God's word. Again, the text, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's probably easy for you to picture the illustration, the imagery that the writer of Hebrews is giving us here. It's that of an ancient foot race, probably more akin to a track race today, not cross country. They would have had a track in one of the Colosseums or stadiums in the Roman Empire, and that's what they were accustomed to. And it was a race like any race today. You train, you get ready. There's competition, some of it probably just as stiff as the competition today. And it was a spectacle, something to watch, and therefore there were spectators, lots of them. They would gather in crowds, they would fill the Colosseums and the stadiums, and they would sometimes even gather on hilltops where they could look down and observe at least part of the race. It was just as much a part of our culture as it is in our culture today. Running a race, running hard, pursuing victory and the finish. And the writer of Hebrews is simply using that analogy, and it's a common one for us, for the Christian life. The Christian life is a race. It's a run. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. But we are to run with endurance. So brothers and sisters, we're to run. That's the main verb in these verses. Run. Not stand still. Don't stay stagnant. Don't walk, but run. Put forth energy. Put forth diligence. Because the Christian life is a life in which we're always going forward. It's meant to be a life of progress, spiritual progress or progressive holiness, that we grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are other ways that we express this. We're seeking maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Ephesians 4 said, to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4 then later says. That's the goal, Christ-likeness. A perfection that we will not reach or achieve in this life. We will when Christ comes again and there is the resurrection. But that's what we're headed towards. To become each day, each week, each month, each year, more and more as we grow in life, more and more like Jesus. In wisdom, in obedience, in love for the Lord, in love for each other. That we grow in these ways. We're to run. And we're to run with endurance. I said it's not a sprint. It's a long race, a lifelong race. And sometimes that makes it discouraging to us because you think about how far you have to go. But I think it should be more of an encouragement to us that this is a lifelong race, because there is so much hope in Jesus Christ for this kind of spiritual growth. Think about anything that you do on an ordinary day. Maybe it's part of your job or something you do in your household, and you've done it for years and years and years and years. Are you better at doing that thing than you were when you got started? Whether it's woodworking or working with metal or even in our parenting. You look at younger kids and you're like, oh, we made so many mistakes with the older ones. We know better now. We grow, right? The more you do something, you perfect it, you get better at it, you increase, you progress. That's what this is, this lifelong race. That doesn't mean it gets easier, don't mistake me. In fact, sometimes the more you grow, the harder it gets. It's not easier, that's not what I mean, and that's not what the writer of Hebrews says. It gets better in the sense that the Spirit of Jesus Christ truly does produce the growth that He promises. He truly does bring forth that glorious, wonderful fruit of faith in you. And you see how the grace of Jesus Christ permeates more and more of your life and becomes more and more precious to you. Christ becomes more precious to you. And you grow closer unto your Lord and your Savior. It gets better. Because He is making you better in His grace and through His Word. So be steadfast. Be determined. But also remember that you don't run on your own. Running is typically considered an individual sport. Although no runner really runs alone. Olympic runners have tons of trainers. The average runner doesn't have tons of trainers. But you were taught somewhere, and you know other people who run, and you maybe have somebody in your life who encourages you to do it if you are a runner. You're not alone, but certainly not in the Christian life are you alone. We're all running the race of faith. And you have this cloud of witnesses. They're with you. And above all of that, above all those other people around you, the Lord is with you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have been with you your whole life. From your creation, your calling, your salvation, baptism, profession of faith, and through all of your experiences in life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so very active and with you. You are not alone. The writer of Hebrews first tells us to be mindful of this cloud of witnesses. Spectators, we might say, but they're more than mere fans. These spectators were common, as I said, in these foot races. And they're common in all of our sporting events today. They're very interesting to watch. You ever watch a crowd of spectators at a sporting event? If I weren't a pastor, I would love to be a sociologist. This is incredibly interesting to me. There's a mob mentality to the group of spectators, right? They're on the edge of their seat, ready to cheer on their team. And they will. They're spring-loaded for it. As soon as they score a point, they're up, cheering, loudly, exuberant. They're also really quick to castigate the ref when they don't agree with the call, too, right? Because they want to defend their team as well. They want to cheer you on, but they also want to defend their team's honor. Some crowds even go so far as to boo the other team, which is terribly unsportsmanlike. But that happens, too. There's highs and there's lows. There's emotion. And the mob of spectators, they act as one. Sometimes, literally, physically, they act as one. I don't know if they still do the wave at sporting events, but that was a big thing when I was in high school. The wave. Everybody goes up. It's a big thing. There's movement in that whole thing. But what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here is not a mob of spectators like you would see at a sporting event today. These are testifying witnesses. They are certainly encouraging you and cheering you on in the good sense. But the word is actually martyrs. Witnesses, the word is martyrs. And don't think martyrs means just those that have died for the faith. That's one way of defining it, but that's not the only definition for the word of martyrs. These are people, living, breathing people, who lived in this life. They've died in the Lord, and they testify, their lives testify to the faithfulness of God, to the truth of the gospel, to the reality of salvation in Jesus Christ, to the great glory that Jesus came and died and is Lord and High Priest. That's what their lives testify. The truth is true. And the Christian life, though hard and difficult and long, is absolutely attainable. He means especially all of those in chapter 11. That's his primary group as he's talking about this cloud of witnesses. Who are these people? Everybody in chapter 11. And that is so good for us as Christians. Because we can learn from them. We can learn from this cloud of witnesses when we're running this long race and it gets hard and we are lacking assurance or we are lacking personal commitment to Christ. We are not pressing on and persevering as we ought to. We're discouraged or doubting or fearful. And the Bible gives us, and not only in this chapter, but certainly in this chapter, a profound list of believers who ran this race of faith in the grace of God, so that in our struggles we might learn from them. If you struggle with being steadfast in worship, consider Abel. If you struggle in your calling, consider Abraham. If you're struggling with unanswered prayer, consider Sarah or Hannah. If you're struggling resisting worldliness, consider Moses. If it's courage that you need, consider David. Or wisdom that you seek, consider Solomon. But more than that, you also have your parents and your grandparents, great-grandparents, and fellow members of the church who can be a godly example to you, who are a godly example to you. Not a perfect example, but if you are familiar with Hebrews 11, you know that those aren't perfect examples either. But they're known for their faith. And so are your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and the members of this church. You think that you're alone in your struggles? You are not. You think that you alone face the perplexing questions and the troubles and the trials that you face? I assure you there are other people in this room right now who have gone through or are going through the very same thing that you're going through. Ask for help. Seek them out. Call upon your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Call upon your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents for wisdom. Help me with this perplexing trouble that I have in life. Why is it that I face these kinds of temptations? Why is it that the devil tempts me in the way that he does? Why do I have these particular struggles? And how do I fix these things? Help me understand what God's Word says. Help me understand what the Lord might be using these things for in my life. Help me understand how God is shaping me to be a man or a woman of God. And if that person that you ask doesn't know the answer, then they might know somebody who does know the answer. One of the greatest things about our office bearers, elders and deacons, is they know this congregation so well. You ask them a question, if they don't know the answer, I bet they know that somebody who does know the answer. Ask them. Seek out their help. Because you're not alone in this race. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, testifying witnesses. The second thing we need to do to run this race with endurance is to take off excess weight. In order to run well with endurance, you need to lay aside every weight, the author of Hebrews says. Runners run with light clothing. They run with light-weighted shoes, even. You don't go run a race with steel-toed boots or put on your thick winter coat and go for a run, go for a race. You wear clothing that's light. It's not going to catch a lot of wind and so forth as you're running because you want to be unencumbered. It's a long word, big word. You don't want to be hindered in any kind of way. You don't want to be held back. If you wore clunky boots, you'd be held back. And your legs would get overly tired. If you wore big, thick clothing, you'd get too hot, too warm. You wouldn't be able to run well. Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us that our heaviest and greatest weights are the sins that we carry with us in this race. And we do. We have the sin that we're born with and the sins that we commit. And sometimes our sins are like untied shoelaces and they trip us up. And we should have dealt with them. We should have stopped. We should have tied the shoelaces back up so that we could run well. But we were in a hurry, or we were just being lazy, or we thought, no, I'll just keep moving and I won't trip over them and I'll deal with the laces later. And we do that with our sins sometimes too. It's not a big deal. I'll deal with it later. As long as I keep moving and keep going, it won't be a problem for me. Oh, this isn't such a thing that's actually going to entrap me. I can handle it. And then we can't. And we trip and we fall and we stumble. Some of our other sins we carry with us because we like them. And we actually do. We love a lot of our sins. We defend a lot of our sins. We justify a lot of our sins. We don't want to give them up. They're comfortable to us. And the writer of Hebrews says, lay these things aside. Look to Jesus Christ. Do you believe what He did? And why He did what He did, and why He had to do what He did, dying on the cross, to take all of those sins, all of the burden of our sins, that weight that we want to carry with us in the race, He came to bear all of that. Lay it at the cross. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ and lay all those burdens of sin at the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's where they're paid for. And that's why Christ came, to pay for those sins. To wash you clean in His blood, to set you free so you can run without this excessive baggage of sin and guilt and shame. He died for His people so you could walk, run, live, delight in Him and have peace in Him. And run with endurance this race that He has set before you. So throw off your pride and your selfishness and your vanity. Throw off the gossip. Throw off the loose tongue. Throw off the grudges that you hold against other people. Throw off that spirit in you, that hard will that will not forgive and let go. Throw it off. Throw off all the idols. Lay them aside, those idols that drag you down, those things that you put in your life and you replace God with them. They're dead things. Put off the lust. You know, it's a devastating irony in our world. They say the more sinful things you heap on in your life, and the more sinful things you give into, and the more that you give into your own desires that come out of your heart, the happier and healthier you're going to be. And they don't see. They're being dragged down with these weights. Brothers and sisters, repent of your sins and lay them at the cross of Jesus Christ. And there are other weights and other burdens that we carry as well. Fear of other people and their opinions. We want to be honored. We want to be liked. Some of us are people pleasers. Some of us have earthly concerns and sentiments that we hang on to. Sometimes it's just things that distract us. We're not devoting our time well to the Lord. We're not devoting our time well to growing in wisdom or praying or spending time in His Word. We're not diligent. There are things that are not so sanctified, things we listen to, things that we watch that aren't helping us and encouraging us and helping us to press on in the race of faith. They're dragging us down, or they're holding us back, or they're hindering us in some kind of a way. And some of these are heavy weights or debilitating weights. Some of these weights are afflictions of the soul and of the body. But here too, in all of these things, we're encouraged to look to Christ. Verse 3, consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And we just sang of this. A great high priest who sympathizes with you. He understands all of those things. Did Satan not try to drag Christ down? Were there not many things pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? But He pressed on and He ran the race of faith that was set before Him to run. He understands what you're going through. Go to Him with those burdens. Go to Him with those weights. Seek Him in prayer. 1 Peter 1 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, to run this race with endurance, we must trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Christ isn't set here before us as an example. He's set before us as an example in verse 3. But in number 2, He is not set before us as an example. He is set before us as the very foundation of this race and the very strength by which we run. The very one who has run the race before us to make it runnable for us. He is the founder or the author of your faith, a pioneer. And there's a lot of times in life, as a Christian, you say, my faith is so weak, my faith is so feeble, my faith is so frail. My faith is so imperfect. And it is. Yours is and mine is. Everybody's is. Our faith is not what we want it to be. It's not what it should be. But rather than giving up or despairing or getting discouraged and slowing down, the author of Hebrews says, keep running and look to Jesus. He's the pioneer of your faith, the author of it. In other words, look to the faith of Jesus Himself, who trusted in God perfectly, who was filled with the perfect assurance of the Holy Spirit, whose faith has no weakness. Because even in this, Jesus, as our high priest, perfectly satisfies God's justice. Even in this, the perfect satisfaction of Christ becomes ours. Because your faith and my faith in and of themselves isn't anything, and it isn't enough. It's a gift that God gives to cling to the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. All of our shortcomings of faith, all of the weaknesses of our faith are met in the perfect faith of Jesus Christ. Even when belief is mixed with unbelief. But we don't trust in our faith. We trust in Jesus. He's the author of our faith. He's also the perfecter or the finisher. We often struggle running with endurance because we doubt. Sometimes we doubt the strength or the validity of our own faith even. We are poor and needy, as Psalm 86 says. But just as much as faith is a gift given to you, so is the completion of that faith a gift of God's grace. Who's going to finish that good work in you? Jesus is. He's already run the race. He's made a place for you at the finish, and He's going to bring you all the way through. That's His plan for your life. That's His purpose for you. That's His unfailing promise to bring you to eternal life, to bring you to that maturity, that full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. You're going to be like Him, 1 John says. He's going to glorify you, Romans 8, verse 30 says. That's His plan for you, and He's going to carry it out. We don't need to guess at any of this. It's all here in verse 2. It was Jesus' joy. It was Jesus' joy. That was the joy set before Him to die for your sins, to suffer as He did, to be humiliated and to be ashamed for you. That was His joy, as He brought about the glory of God in His saving work, and He brought about your salvation. That was His joy. He wanted so much for you. And He loves its accomplishment on your behalf. And He loves to see the work done in you. That's His joy. He despised the shame. That is, it was nothing to Him to bear our shame. He did it willingly. And now He's glorified at God's right hand, our sympathetic high priest, our righteous advocate, our King of kings. So don't grow weary or faint-hearted. Running the race of faith with endurance is hard. It's frustrating at times. It's disappointing at times. It's discouraging at other times. But rather than focusing so much on our weaknesses and failures and setbacks, the writer of Hebrews tells us, look to Jesus. That's the Old Testament way of saying, believe in Him, trust in Him, hope in Him. He is not going to fail you, and He is not going to fail to bring you, the workmanship of God, to a pristine completion. That is His intention. Trust Him in this race of faith to do everything that He has said to you. However, if you are spiritually lazy, or perhaps you are here tonight in the midst of backsliding, then the message here would be to get up and get going and get moving. Because as a Christian, you're not meant to stand still. You're not to stagnate, but you're to keep growing. Run with endurance the race set before you. Begin with prayer and seek God's help and praise God for the suffering of Jesus Christ on behalf of sinners. Renew your trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that all of His sufferings and His death and His resurrection, that was all the joy that was set before Him? The joy of your reconciliation, not just other people, but yours? Do you believe that? Are you looking to Jesus? Do you believe that you will be glorified with Christ? Then run this race with endurance, brothers and sisters. Run it with endurance. Run it with the full assurance and confidence in the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our gracious God, lead us onward to run this race with endurance, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Stir us up to wisdom and to love and to good works. And use each one of us in the lives of other Christians to encourage them and come alongside them, to cheer them on and to guide them and advise them and pray for them while they also run the race with endurance. We thank You, Father, that You graciously have set us upon this. And now strengthen us to finish well. Increase our faith. We believe. Help our unbelief. and be glorified, Father, as the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ breaks through and conquers our hearts and leads us to the finish, to maturity, to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, to the praise of your